We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
It is 8:15 now, and it's going to be hot today, maybe record heat, highs of 91, and really looking through the Memorial Day weekend, it's going to be hot and brutally humid with highs near 90, and the only difference would be chance for showers, and even that is minimal 30% today, very slight chance tomorrow, maybe less than 10%, then 40% on Sunday, 50% on Monday, Memorial Day itself. Daniel Salmon joins us now, professor at Johns Hopkins Bloomberg School of Public Health and Director of the Institute for Vaccine Safety. Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
Thanks for coming back. Do you ever, and I'm not trying to be silly when I say this, realize the magnitude of the institution that you walk into every morning and the work that they've done historically in this country in terms of infectious diseases?
Johns Hopkins is an amazing place, and we do have a long and rich history of contributing to controlling infectious diseases. So, yeah, it's really an honor to be at Hopkins. It's a great place to be.
Let's talk about this anti-vaxxer movement. And there was I'm looking at a story from the Washington Post here. There was some, I don't know if it was a conference, I don't know if it was a teleconference, but a woman from southwestern Louisiana hosted it. And for people that right now are, and it's just me, this is not the doctor, but for those that are saying, well, what are you going to have the other side on about the vaccinations? To me, there is no other side. To put somebody on with this nonsense about vaccinations and Bill Gates and government control and all of that, to me, that would be tantamount to putting somebody on to tell you how to make a bomb. And it would be terribly irresponsible, so I refuse to do it. The only thing I can say is if you are a stringent anti-vaxxer, text your questions in and maybe Dr. Salmon will be able to, or reason will prevail and you'll understand why there is no conspiracy, how this whole autism thing with measles is, doctor, I don't know even how to start with this because it really gets me revved up because it's like people put stuff on the internet, they believe it, and it hurts their kids and it hurts everybody else. Let's talk about the safety of vaccines. I guess we can start there.
Sure. What would you like to talk about regarding vaccine safety?
Well, let's address, because, you know, we got this doctor that lost his license, Andrew Wakefield. He's the guy that he founded this anti-vaccine movement. He's the guy that talked about the phony link between autism and the mumps vaccine, I think it was, or measles. But everybody, or a lot of people hang on to that, and I don't know why they do, but they do. Is there anything that parents need to worry about? And let's start with the measles before we get to any other vaccines at all. Give us the truth, if you will, about vaccinations and why you should listen to the vaccines that are available now, the people, or at least should have faith in them, not to mention what is to come or might come with COVID-19. Go ahead, please.
Well, I mean, vaccines are held to a really high safety standard, and they are and they should be. And the reason is because they're given often, almost universally, almost every child gets them, and a very rare adverse event can therefore impact a lot of people. We also don't know who will be exposed and who will get the disease and who will have serious consequences from the disease, therefore prevention. So our willingness to tolerate risk is lower for prevention. You know, picture if you have a child who's very, very ill you'd be much more willing to take on a treatment that would have a high level of risk than you would be for prevention. And also, many vaccines are required for school entry. So there's a limitation of parental autonomy, and that raises the bar for safety. So vaccines are held to a very high safety standard. And that's done a bunch of ways. It's done through clinical trials, and we're hearing a lot about clinical trials now with the COVID vaccine. And clinical trials are really the gold standard in medicine. You're randomizing people, so it's not up to the person who gets the vaccine. It's up to chance. And that's really important because there's all these differences between people who would choose to get a vaccine or a drug versus those that don't. So by leaving it to chance rather than the decision of the patient, that takes care of a lot of bias and confounding that would otherwise be there. Also, the patient and the scientist are typically blinded as to who got the vaccine and who didn't. And that, again, reduces a lot of bias and confounding. So clinical trials are really our gold standard. And we start with small clinical trials, phase one. And as we learn more about the vaccine, we go to larger clinical trials. And they're staged so that you're putting people at as little risk as possible until you know more. So that if there were a problem to be discovered in terms of safety, or if it turned out the vaccine didn't work, you'd be giving it to less people. You'd be exposing less people. And as you learn more and you're more comfortable with the safety, you put more people in the trial. And then once these clinical trials are done and through phase three, which are fairly large, they're then reviewed very carefully by the Food and Drug Administration, as well as an advisory committee, a group of external experts that make a decision about whether or not to license the product. And they also do other things like inspect the manufacturing facilities and make sure the product is consistent and as safe as possible. But even after they're licensed, there's still a lot of work that's done around safety. We have what's called large active surveillance systems. The largest in the country is called the Vaccine Safety Data Link. And this links medical records in patient, outpatient, hospital, pharmacy. And you can look and see what happened to those people that didn't vaccinated. It's a bit more complicated because once the product is licensed, you're no longer running a clinical trial. You're no longer randomizing people. It's based on people's decisions and preference. So these are called observational studies. You observe what happened. And they're very powerful. They're very useful, though they're a bit more difficult to interpret. So a lot of work is done to make sure that vaccines are, in fact, very safe. And they have a great safety record in this country.
Let me take a break. We'll pick it up when we come back. 822, Tommy Tucker, WWL, talking to Daniel Salmon. He's been on before, Professor Johns Hopkins, Bloomberg School of Public Health and Director of the Institute for Vaccine Safety. They're trying to develop a COVID-19 vaccination, Operation Warp Speed, as dubbed by the president, but the anti-vaccine movement's already gearing up to cast doubt on it. 823 now, traffic, WWL. In WWL, Tommy Tucker, glad you're with us. It's 827. We're talking to Daniel Salmon, professor at Johns Hopkins Bloomberg School of Public Health and director of the Institute for Vaccine Safety. And Dr. Salmon, somebody texted this in, and I know it goes to what you just said in terms of the procedures and the processes to make sure that the vaccines are safe. But somebody texted in and said, I agree with everything the doctor said as it relates to childhood vaccines for children. However, with Operation Warp Speed, how do we know that the process is not going to be compromised and that this thing will be safe to take as soon as it's developed? And I know we're talking about maybe an unknown quantity here, because I think probably the latest on the vaccine would change day to day with all the research that's going on. But in terms of processes and procedures, Operation Warp Speed doesn't mean in any way that that's going to be compromised, correct?
Yeah, so that's a great question. And I have to say, I don't like the name Operation Warp Speed.
Yeah,
because
I don't like Operation anything. It just, but anyway, go ahead.
No, it just really emphasizes speed, fast. And, you know, somewhere between a third and two-thirds of the public are less likely to trust vaccines that have been around a while. And in some ways, that makes sense, because as a vaccine has been used more and we study it more, we learn more about it. So as I have more knowledge, I tend to trust something more. So that's an understandable belief that people have. but by calling it Operation Warp Speed, you know, the name matters, and it really emphasizes the speed. Mm-hmm. And the question, therefore, I think is a very good question. And if this program to develop COVID-19 vaccines is done in an expedited way where we can make sure we still have the same scientific knowledge and not compromise that process, then that's fantastic. That gets a vaccine to market more quickly, and it benefits people more quickly. But we do need to be sure that in our rush to have a vaccine, that we don't compromise the science. And that can be done. And I'll give you a great example. One of the things that they're talking about is manufacturing the vaccine before the phase three trial results. So typically when we make a vaccine, we wait until we have those phase three clinical trials. And then if the vaccine does well, and it's clear that the benefits outweigh the risks, we then go ahead and manufacture the vaccine for adequate supplies for the country. And that's the normal process. And what's being discussed here is manufacturing the vaccine in large quantities before we know that the benefits outweigh the risks. And that's a gamble. It's a financial gamble, because if you go ahead and produce large quantities of the vaccine and the phase three trials show that the benefits don't outweigh the risks, then you basically wasted all that money making the vaccine, and you won't use it. So it's a financial risk, but it doesn't risk the safety of the population. The only example that I'm aware of when that was done before was the first polio vaccine. They manufactured the vaccine before they had clinical trial results. So there's an example of where there's a financial risk, and it allows the vaccine to be available much more quickly if, in fact, the benefits outweigh the risks.
Thank you, Doctor.
But it doesn't
compromise
the health.
I'm sorry, I do. We'll talk to you again. Time now, WWL First News. For that, we go to Dave Cohen.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.